And welcome to Brewocracy Now on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. This is our weekly chat with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, and he has a guest, I see. This is available for anybody that wants to contribute or ask questions. Zoom, the Zoom link is on our KPTZ website. Or alternatively, you can send me an email, dj@kptz.org. So, hello, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Tim, it's great to see you again. We missed you last week.
Well, and I want to thank Taylor Clark for sitting in for me. I can't think of a better person to do that. I was out having fun, but also listening to the news from Port Townsend. You and your guest, Steve King, were having probably exactly the opposite during that period of time. And so my first question is directly from me. Did you have water for your coffee today?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've got my coffee here, and I have water for the coffee. I have my locally sourced local business lunch that I'm trying to amp that up because, you know, ever since the other day and the kicking in of the governor's new orders, you know, we're in, and I love the KPTZ's message and public service announcement on this. We really need to double down again. And that means, you know, being safe, really thinking about things very carefully because you don't know who is asymptomatic. And also supporting our community. And part of that is, you know, if we have $1 to spend on a lunch or a coffee, throw them down. Our local businesses need that. Our local nonprofits need it. It's a good time to check in on your neighbor. It's top of mind because I was just penning the article that goes out with the water bill for December, and I really focus on what localism is. So I'm good. We have water, and you allude to a very surprise break of a 1928 era pipe that happened just from where I could almost see it from here. A little bit of drama Steve can speak to as we're talking a bit about water today.
Well, hi, Steve King, Public Works Director for Port Townsend. You've been a busy man. You are still smiling, so that I take as a good sign. Maybe you can fill us in on how things are going down there.
You bet. It's been quite a week for sure, and things are going well. Are you getting my audio okay?
You're a little bit low, but maybe if you can get closer to your mic, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, it might help.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Things are going well, and we're making progress, and I'm smiling because I have a great team of public works professionals that helped get this situation stabilized right away, working with the staff here at City Hall, helped getting information out to impacted customers. And we have a great contractor, Seton Construction, local contractor who we pulled in, who has the heavy equipment, the expertise and know-how to do the repair work. And today we're getting most of the pipe repair work done. It'll still take a little while to actually get the system completely on, turned on and ready to go and finished and paid. But for the most part, we've been able to avoid significant water outages, just some isolated outages. Today is an outage for the Point Hudson area. But in general, we were able to isolate the break, and most of the time, the water has been on for all of our customers.
Well, that is all good news. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I seem to remember when we had the big repaving project there on Water Street, were not some of those old pipes replaced? Obviously, not all of them. So there's limits. We still have 1928 pipes throughout Port Townsend. Is that widespread?
It's fairly widespread, yes. Most of Water Street will be replaced. You're right. The big Water Street project took care of that section, not the entire bit of Water Street. So this, as we are making this repair, we are replacing about another 140 feet of pipe, which will get rid of, at least on this end of Water Street, any cast iron pipe will be replaced. And so cast iron pipe has a little tendency. It's really good pipe until it breaks. And once it breaks, it just keeps breaking. And so I've had experience with this in my old life, and it seemed like you end up chasing pipe year after year once it gets into failure mode.
Well, this being Port Townsend, I guess we're lucky that their pipes are not made out of wood. So cast iron's better than nothing. So what else has been keeping you busy in your position lately here in Port Townsend?
Oh dear, that's a question. It's like it's almost so busy you don't know how to answer it. Streets, we're working on street issues, the mill agreement, and just operations. It's I was reflecting today. It's phenomenal to see what goes into keeping the basic systems of a city working. And I have water crew, we have a wastewater crew, a compost crew, a streets crew that are all, it's like a big organism. I was telling John, sharing with John the other day, it's like a body, an organism where we're keeping the blood flowing, the water flowing, the sewer processed, the streets open. You get little things like windstorms that hit you in the middle of a water break, and it's really impressive to see all those systems function. And sometimes we have little hiccups and things don't work out as like they should. But for the most part, we've got a good crew that figures this stuff out. And when we get hit with these things.
And speaking of, speaking of getting hit, have you been affected by furloughs or layoffs in your crew?
We had some furloughs earlier this year, but because of the way the city funding systems work, water and wastewater functions are did not experience the furlough or layoff challenges. And those are quasi business type enterprises in the city. So the rate models were not hit as hard from the effects of the COVID economic downturn.
Yeah, and Tim, I could add to that a little bit, and then back up to something just to try to put the superhero cape on some of our team here. We haven't fully passed the 2021 budget, but it's gone through quite a bit of process so far. So for those listening who haven't been part of the city council conversations, it's been through a workshop, it's been through the first reading, it kind of passed out of the first reading unanimously, and we'll land back at council on December 7th to really put the finishing touches on the budget for next year. And boy, it's a weird year. It requires us to really tighten the belt. Luckily, like Steve says, these enterprise funds are more stable during times of, economic crisis and public health crisis, so we can keep on delivering water and dealing with wastewater. But it does actually shrink down the overall staff footprint of the staff by about 10 or 11%. Most of those are frozen positions that are vacant. So luckily that doesn't affect a real person, but in three instances it does. We're actually having to lay off three people to sustain our operations and maybe reduce them a tiny bit overall to squeeze through 2021, and to do so without making 2022 even harder. That's our challenge, is how to kind of do both, how to think long-term, but also to get through the current challenge without really a huge understanding of what and when things happen next. We're both thinking, wow, these breakthroughs on vaccines, how exciting, distribution, how challenging, detail on all of them, uncertain, cases spiking, it's really probably anybody's guess when we're going to be back to some semblance of normal. The other thing I wanted to say too is just I was reflecting yesterday as I was watching Steve at the Transportation Committee, which was on yesterday afternoon, going through things like Washington Street roundabouts and Discovery Road, walking and biking, and all sorts of topics we're dealing on transportation. I like to think that we hire people who are good at juggling. And if you can keep a bunch of balls in the air at the same time, that's coming in handy right now. When I got the call from Steve, I was with council at a city council meeting on Monday night when that water main broke. And by the time I had finished up that meeting, only about 5 or 10 minutes later, I went down at about 10:30 to the water break. And already the water manager was down there. Team from the wastewater was there. Police was there. Steve was there. Our streets manager was there. The whole team was down there trying to make it right. And that was way in advance of me being able to hang up the Zoom call and get down there from the city council meeting. So the response was inspiring.
the response is inspiring. And also just the use of technology lately. I think that I became aware of it in a message from Michelle Sandoval during that meeting. This kind of communication is instantaneous these days, and there's a lot to be said for that. We have talked about COVID. I'm something of a hermit right now, so I haven't been down there to actually see it, but I'm glad that that Steve and his crew is on top of it. And John, if you don't mind, being gone 1 week seems like a month, and I think this might be a good time to catch up on just a few, since we have such a limited amount of time. I'm going to throw a few things out there and see if you can catch the listening audience up on the status of where we're at. And I have received a couple of emails, and they all deal with affordable housing. And in some, the nexus between affordable housing and golf course plans. Could you speak to where we're at with vaguely those two issues, what's coming up, where folks can still make their opinions known on those?
Yeah, so I think that's a great segue into reminding the listening audience that we've cycled through, I think this is now our 10th and final Engage PT topic since we started, I guess it was about 10 weeks ago. So we were planning, and why Steve's with us, because he's across many of these initiatives, was to make sure that we had some time to talk about the sewer outfall as a project. And because of some of the challenges with COVID, the states, we're just responding to less of a timeline because the state needs some time to kind of catch up. But I think it's worth delving a little bit into that as well, just so we can kind of tidy that up and say that, you know, we marched through all 10 issues and made sure that as a new platform for engagement, we dedicated at least one broadcast to each. But before that, I'll just say a few words about housing and affordable housing. Much like what Steve just said, what I've come to understand and what I knew from previous roles is that it takes a village, right? And it's an ecosystem of different strengths, different roles. And, you know, the city plays some of those. So I'm by no means trying to pretend the city plays no direct role in making sure we have fair, equitable, affordable, quality housing. But that there is a limitation, you know, and if we work independently, you know, we could regulate, we could, to some degree subsidize, but there's, we don't actually build housing. We don't build affordable housing. So, you know, understanding how this larger group of organizations, institutions, and funding mechanisms work is really, really important. And look, I've been here a year. I can't say that I understand everything. That's going to take a while. In fact, it might be an impossible task fully. But what I can say is that I think there's a new focus on this because the crisis is even more clear to us post-COVID or during COVID. And it's clear that the relationships that we've developed with other institutions, like the county, in particular, but also through some of the providers. I give top marks to the providers from OLECAP to Habitat to Humanity, to Bayside, to juvenile services at the county, to Dove House. I mean, there's a raft of very competent, incredible providers that are working really hard at all different parts of this puzzle. And the example I'll give is through the county's leadership and with close partnership with the city, we're starting to work on actually how do we unlock affordable permanent housing, because emergency housing has been an issue for a while and they're at capacity. They won't get more capacity there if we can't get people into more permanent secure housing. So it's coming through the joint oversight board and the housing task force, which is a city county combination with a lot of dedicated volunteer community members from some of these agencies and communities representatives at large. And it's moving the right direction. And the direction it might move on the small slice of the pie is to say the Board of County Commissioners can actually vote to increase sales tax by 0.1%. It's a relatively small amount. And that could start kicking into effect next year. And roughly that brings in about $600,000 a year, we'd estimate, in that 0.1% sales tax. All the providers have sat down together with the city and the county and said, this is how we could use the money, this is the priority, and this is how we'll work together. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that that's happened. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, that's one small slice. There are plenty of other initiatives and projects and things that are happening right now. But working together, using our strengths and focusing our efforts on our priorities is really what's needed. And that's a good example of that.
Well, very quickly, before we go back to the sewer outfall, because I, since Steve is here, I'm really interested in knowing that. But I do want to address specific questions that have come in, though. And this is pretty simple. I'm taking a question from Carla and distilling it down to a very basic question, and that is, how is the city working with the Housing Solutions Network, or are you?
Yeah, we are. We had a great meeting last week with some of the main, leaders of the Housing Solutions Network, a network leader, and some of the folks who have put a lot of effort into a survey around permitting for city and for county. And they've compiled, they've done some work, they put a survey out, they got 100 responses, and they walked us through the results. And I think, you know, it was really helpful to have a very honest, direct, and collaborative conversation about how advocates who are really pushing for, you know, affordable housing in our community, which is great. It's great to see galvanizing community spirit coming together, saying, what can we do? What are our strengths? And what are some of the hindrances? What are some of the challenges? And where does the city or the county play a role at maybe unlocking or getting out of the way, or even coming in closer as part of the solution? So I'm not saying we're there yet, but the spirit of that conversation was very strong, and we pledged to work together through some of the issues they identified. And we also pledged to communicate where we've made progress, because a lot of what came through in that survey are things that we've already changed and fixed. So we're on a journey with them, and I look forward to, I think we're going to have a conversation in another couple of weeks.
Okay. I'm, you know, there are other questions, but I'm sure that we will, it's not a question, an issue that's going to go away. And so hopefully we can take it up again on future episodes. Sewer outfall. What's it about?
Sewer outfall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is part of Steve drinking from a fire hose, being new to Port Townsend. So, there's a sewer outfall pipe that goes from our wastewater treatment plant out into the straits. And I think it's about 800 feet, and it's buried in the seafloor. And it takes treated effluent from the sewer plant out, and then it diffuses it into the out into the salt water. And so that's an old pipe, you know, speaking of old pipes. I don't know what the vintage is on that, but it's old and it's falling apart. And so there's been an effort to figure out how to replace that pipe. And the studies to point to date say the most cost-effective way to do that is to basically trench in the seafloor a new pipe and create a diffuser. And that obviously raises a lot of environmental concerns. It affects the eelgrass, the seafloor bed, and how it's also very logistically challenging to do that. And so where the city is at this point in the game is we've just started the permitting process. Discussions with the tribes, the permitting agencies needs to still happen. And that will shape the outcome of how we approach this. And meanwhile, you know, I think looking comprehensively at the sewer system overall, we have an aging sewer system. Not only do we have aging water pipes, we have aging sewer collection pipes. And we have a wastewater treatment plant that is over 25 years old now. And just like an old car, they actually wear out. Most of the time a sewer treatment plant is upgraded because your community grows and you need more capacity. We have not seen an increase in flows. What we have seen is the plant is actually wearing out physically. So just like the outfall, the wastewater treatment plant, the pipes, we are about ready to embark upon doing a what they call a general sewer plan. It's basically a comprehensive plan to look at our sewer utility and prioritize those investments. And I think that in the outfall, because the outfall investment is so big, millions of dollars, we need to really evaluate the approach to that solution. And so there's more to come. We've been on hold because of COVID. We haven't been able to meet with our permitting agencies. And there's a lot of work to be done on this front.
Well, from somebody that knows next to nothing about sewer outfall, The current old pipe, is that buried? How far out does it go now?
Yeah, I believe it. I don't quote me on the numbers, but I'll get you close. I think it was 800 feet from the shoreline at North Beach out into the Straits. And yes, it's buried. There is a little bit of sometimes on the beach, the beach erosion will expose the pipe. You'll see a concrete pipe there on the beach on a low tide. But most of the time, even that will get covered back up. The sand and rocks kind of move a lot in that area. There's a common complaint that we get, and that is to not confuse the sewer outfall pipe with the Chinese garden outfall pipe. The Chinese garden outfall pipe, when the tide is out, you will see a lot of brown, greenish brown water bubbling up out there, and that is not the city sewer system. But we get a lot of calls on that.
I bet you do.
Just make that clear.
And Steve, I'll even add, you know, the connection between Chinese Gardens and the sewer wastewater treatment plant is virtually nothing except for same geography, correct?
That's correct, yeah. There's no sewer water goes into Chinese Gardens. The reason why a Chinese garden is the color that it is because it's brackish water. There's salt water that goes in and out, and that produces the biologic growth in the pond. So anyway, yes, our sewer outfall pipe goes much further than the Chinese garden outlet out into the Strait.
And Steve, I wonder if I could jump in and ask a question because it's really top of this last week's achievements. How well are we doing putting out good quality water and making sure that we don't have any mess ups there? I mean, I know we've had some challenges with the pipe break recently, but do you want to speak to the award that you and your team just won again?
Oh, thank you, John. How can I miss that? Yes, 22 years in a row, the wastewater treatment plant team has won a award from the Department of Ecology, and it's award for 100% compliance with our discharge permit. Every sewer system that discharges to waters of the state has a permit. And to be in compliance with that permit every minute of the year is absolutely an incredible amount of work and the result of a very professionally run wastewater sewer system. The other thing that most people don't know is we have another little treatment plant out at the compost facility. So Port Townsend is very progressive in that we compost the biosolids that are generated from our sewer plant. And in that process, we have to also treat water out at the compost facility. So they got an award for that as well. And I am so proud of that team. And, I would love to take every citizen that was an Inga nerd like me to go out and tour the facilities because they're incredible facilities and it's really fascinating science.
I have to say, I love that you brought that up. I have to say, I did spend a night at a sewage treatment facility in my prior life, an entire night to do a piece about it. And it was enlightening. It's not something we think about every day. It's something that you probably think about every day. And we don't think about it till it doesn't work. So I'm so glad that we have folks like you to be able to keep that one going. I can't imagine life without it. We have about 2 minutes left, John. Do you have other questions that you would like to bring up? Any other issues that the listening audience should know?
Well, I mean, maybe I'll just go back to that collaboration piece and just remind folks that whether it be sewer outfall and kind of the quality of water and the system that Steve talks about, like a human body or, you know, really an ecosystem of city services that really keeps us going and keeps, giving residents what they need to have the bare basics, like water and wastewater in the streets and, you know, public safety. That done at a larger scale together is really, really useful. And I was really, I'm a little tired because I've had three night meetings in a row, but the one last night was the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group meeting, which is Port, PUD, County, and City, and all the elected officials from each of those organizations. So that's 16 elected officials, all sitting down to look at a draft plan for recovery and resilience post-COVID. So I was really optimistic about how that meeting went, just saying, look, you know, I think kind of two key takeaways. One is that we're on the right track for this community sourced actions that are going to land in the final plan, and we're going to get that done at the end of this year. And the other thing I heard was, hey, this group's working pretty well. Why don't we tackle some other issues together when we can? So I think the listening public should know that, you know, the spirit of collaboration amongst local governments is high, and keep pushing us in that direction, because that's how we're going to get things done.
Well, I would like to thank both of you for being on Brewocracy Now. That, by the way, is a John Morrow invention, Brewocracy Now. And I encourage anybody to join in at any time possible. I know it's very hard to get to everybody's questions in the short amount of time we have, but we will keep at it. Thank you for listening, and thank you both for being on with us.
Great to see you again, Tim.
All right. Thank you. Bye.